The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins the way we have been going. Nine callers, 51 minutes.
Easy.
Let's get to it. Let's go down to Dallas. Talk to J-Mon. J-Mon, thanks for holding on, buddy. Good morning. Your feelings, Packers lose 10-7 to the Eagles.
Good morning, guys. I don't feel too shabby about it. It's a defending Super Bowl champs. I think it was a good game. You know, one of my positives today is the defense. Being able to slow down the Eagles' offense, kind of keep them guys in the standstill. Carrington Valentine, I think he's throwing the challenge. Keyshawn Nixon for his number one position, his CB1 position, if you like to call it. The negatives. A lot of people talking about Matt LaFleur. I don't think he's played a bad game. Kind of like a few callers today. It's time for the guys on the field to start looking at themselves. I mean, a bunch of boneheaded mistakes, flags, guys not lining up the way they're supposed to do. None of that has to do with Matt. I mean, Matt makes a few questionable calls, of course. But, I mean, the guys have to still start making better plays. I mean, this is 2 weeks straight, and DBs are dropping back, and Jordan Love is still forcing the ball downfield to him. I mean, dink and dunk if you have to. You have guys like Josh Jacobs, I mean, who made a boneheaded mistake yesterday, not rolling out to the flat. But then you have guys like Josh Jacobs. You have guys like Luke Musgrave. I mean, give these guys the ball. You don't have to wait till the play develop. And then our line is doing too good, so then once you wait till the play develop, the guy's not protecting long enough. Now Jordan Love is scrambling. Now we're playing backyard football, and Jordan Love has to throw a play downfield, and hopefully it doesn't get picked. It's not a good recipe to win a football game. Just guys have to just clean it up. Just a bunch of mistakes that they've caused on themselves. But like Matt LaFleur called a good game, it's the Eagles. This is a Super Bowl team. So, I mean, you're not expecting. A lot of guys are expecting Green Bay to come in and score 28 points, 30 points. No. This is an Eagles defense who won the Super Bowl last year. And then it's the Eagles we lost to. So everybody calm down. Let's prepare for the Giants next week. Start 1-0. Go, Pack, go.
J-Mon, the ray of sunshine in our calls. That's two of them we've had today.
We may not score 28, but you can't score 7 either.
Right. And that's exactly
Matt LaFleur. This isn't all on Matt LaFleur, but it is his offense. And he's the head coach of the team, so the onus falls on him. The offensive line did not play well. Jordan Love, I don't know what is going on, but he's taking sacks, and there's something off. There's something off, and they got to figure it out. There's the protection breaks down. Everything just seems too predictable, and that's why I brought up the Quinyon Mitchell, because I know in our little group text, it's like, yeah, it seems like he was covering the guy that was targeted. Well, how the hell does he know who's getting targeted? If he knows every time somebody's getting targeted,
how does he know where we're going?
Going the wrong way. We are going the wrong way on offense, and Quinyon Mitchell was the guy that helped do it. Yeah, so I get what J-Mon's saying. I'm not, again, I am not in panic city like this thing's over. I'm not. But I am saying our offense needs to pick it up, and if our offense stays as is, we're going to be scrapping to be a 7 seed. That's all.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Beep, beep. Let's get more of your calls. Let's go to Andy in Waukesha. Andy, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Your thoughts as the Packers lose to the Eagles.
Good morning, Jason. My call is going to be directed to you, and I think at the end of the call, you'll understand why it's directed to you.
Oh, dear.
Now, Matt LaFleur is taking a lot of heat, and deservedly so, but I want to review who it is that is principally responsible for the poor play of the offensive line this season. First, at center, back in 2021, the consensus top center in that draft was a guy that Sports Illustrated, in its recent 2025 midseason All-Pro team article, called perhaps the best overall lineman in the NFL. Creed Humphrey. Mm-hmm. And someone decided to take Josh Myers one pick before Humphrey. Mm-hmm. Then, after 4 years of mediocre play by Myers in Green Bay, someone let him walk for peanuts this offseason, and that same someone declared that longtime but fading left guard Elgton Jenkins was a capable replacement at center. And then we all got to see Elgton. Elgton was not really a center, or at least not a very good center, before he unfortunately broke his leg last night. At left tackle, we have an at best mediocre former seventh round pick who will not even be in Green Bay next season, and yet he is still somehow better than the guy someone took in round one of the 2024 draft. A first round pick who now masquerades none too well as a right guard. And then at left guard, someone this past offseason decided to pay a guy, the 49ers, an organization that tends to know personnel pretty well. The 49ers considered to be injury-plagued and not very good. He signed him to a huge free agent deal. So let me ask you, Jason, is it Matt LaFleur, who again deserves a lot of the blame for what's going on, who is responsible for having a below-average left tackle, an overpaid and not very effective and injury-prone left guard, a former first-round pick who announced he is not a guard and plays like right guard, like he is not a guard, and a complete dumpster fire at center? Or is it maybe that mysterious someone who is responsible for the other utter cluster along the offensive line? I'll hang up and listen to hear what you have to say about that someone.
Zach Tom is a really good right tackle. I feel like this was not direct. This was not really directed at me.
This was like passive aggressive City USA by old boy.
Yeah,
and that's fine. So go ahead, Jason. Tell us all your offensive line knowledge, Jason. No, let's hear it. I mean, Andy wants you to tell him about how bad the offensive line is, how much Goody sucks.
All he wanted me to do was say to answer his question on who made those decisions, and the answer to that question is Brian J. Gutekunst.
Yep.
That is true. I would just say that I think all the criticism of LaFleur, I think there's criticism to be levied in a lot of directions, and I think Andy's point about the offensive line is certainly a fair one. They have not made Sean Ryan is a third round pick who they have spent the last 4 years basically trying not to play, right?
Yep.
At every turn, they don't want him to play. Zach Tom has been a very good fourth round pick, played through a torn pec last year, has played now with this oblique, sports hernia, whatever you want to adductor, all the whatever you want to call it, injury. And on top of that, now playing with a back issue, but still playing pretty well. I have not looked at last night's game a second time. I don't know how he fared against Jalen Phillips and whoever else that he faced. But I think it's a fair criticism of the offensive line. I think it's a fair criticism, just as we praised Goody up and down, including me, to his face, calling them grand slam, not home run signings, of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, to say that they're not in a great place at corner, and yet their defense is playing at a very high level nevertheless. He made a bold move to go get Micah Parsons. That is a bold thing to have done, and frankly, for a guy who always says he wants to be in every conversation, a lot of times the conversations don't lead to actual acquisitions, and that one did. So he deserves credit for taking a huge swing, whether or not he was pushed to do so by the new team president. I'm not here to kill Brian Gutekunst for where this team is at either. All I am saying, and all I was saying last night to my colleagues, was while we're all asking Matt LaFleur if he's coaching for his job, there has to be some accountability for the general manager and for the players who are not executing. Now, you can't fire all the players, and I think this feels like if they were to make a change after the season with whatever happens, that it's more likely that the GM gets to stick around and the coach doesn't. I'm just saying maybe we have overestimated just how good all these wide receivers we're talking about are. You drafted Luke Musgrave in the second round after he played two games in his final season at Oregon State. Are you going to tell me that it's unrealistic on the play before the cluster of a fourth and short
to expect him to elude or run over the tackler to get the first down on that 9-yard gain? I'll tell you who gets that first down. Tucker Kraft gets that first down. He didn't. And it's fair to expect him to, right? He's not injured anymore. You want to look at his track record, the time he missed with the rupture, with the lacerated kidney, the ankle injury last year. He's healthy now. This is a big opportunity. That is a huge play. He did not make a move to make the guy miss. He did not run through the guy. He was stopped a yard short, and then they failed on fourth down with a chance to go tie or win the game. So I think we have to at least consider the possibility that we have overrated a bunch of players that we think are great who are contributing to the issues that this team has currently. Fair?
Sure.
Let's get to another call. On the Carbless talk and text line. Let's go to Chef Jason, who's cooking in Hale's Corners. Chef Jason, good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Outstanding, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, and yesterday was one poison pill hard to swallow there.
Oh, good line.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean, that was horrendous. You had a caller earlier, Ron, and he liked to use that. He used the word relax. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say you are G-E-N-C-Y, urgency, urgency, urgency. The Green Bay defense played very well. To go up against a Super Bowl champion like they did and to hold them to 0 points in the first half, I was shocked. I thought for sure we were going to get steamrolled in the first half, but we didn't. So with that, my question to you guys is this. Did it look like Matt LaFleur was panicking when he went to the tablet? Because the way I read it is like, if I'm a player on the sideline and I see my coach go over the side and he's sitting there and his head's down, he's writing stuff down on this thing, trying to make adjustments right there and then, I'm thinking at that point, we're in trouble. There's a panic going on with my coach. What's going on? And I did check. Yeah, we'd be the 7th seed right now. And
it would.
You know, that wouldn't be good. And then two more things. You know, Matt LaFleur is always saying, it's on me, it's on me. Well, it's also on the guys that are sitting on the field. They're the ones that are making the plays, doing the things. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, how well is the playbook designed for them to actually execute? Because it always seems to me like at the last 2 minutes, they're going, oh, my gosh, we got to score points. We got to score points.
So, Jason, I'm intrigued by this because this is something that Tausch and I have talked about before, and as a long-term listener, I'm sure you've heard it, and thanks for the call. Does it feel like Matt LaFleur is panicky in critical moments? I would say yes, it does feel that way, at least of late. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah. Oh, you're asking him. Okay.
No, I'm asking you. I wasn't sure. I'm asking you. Yeah, I said thanks.
Oh, Jesse pulled it back up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I've said this for years. My biggest complaint is that he gets so riled up and he wants it so bad. And I love his passion. I love his passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as a coach, everybody's watching you. You do set the tone. And it just wasn't a good look last night that he's sitting there. And there's a bunch of GIFs and memes and everything else. It makes you think that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Like he's trying to draw it up and figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's a bad sign, and it doesn't instill a ton of confidence in your team. It doesn't.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up. I don't know what we're down to, but we got a ways to go. We will hurry, and hopefully everyone can keep things a little tighter, like I will try to keep tight this amazing experience opportunity that we've got for you to take in a game day like never before. You can win a pair of tickets to see Green Bay host Chicago on December 7th. This will include reservations at the Tundra Trio, Green Bay's upscale tailgating destination. Three luxurious homes, steps from the stadium, featuring gourmet food, premium drinks, all thanks to Dr. Pepper and ESPN Wisconsin. You can enter to win right now, and we have confirmed the website now. ESPNWisconsin.com is back, baby. It's back.
Nice.
Nothing hits like the bold, cold signature flavor of Dr. Pepper. So enjoy an ice-cold Dr. Pepper during your next trip to McDonald's. No purchase necessary. Enter by November 23rd. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever.
Let's get some more calls now. Let's keep going. Let's go to Milwaukee. And Chris in a car. Chris, Packers lose 10-7 to the defending Super Bowl champs. Your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of people have hit the main points about it's not just the coach. It's a lack of execution. Seems like every time they got past the 50-yard line, either there's a penalty, there's a turnover, they miss receivers. But there doesn't seem to be any rhythm to the offense. And I'm just wondering, do they ever think about going no huddle just to see if they could get a rhythm going to get some plays, some quick plays, don't let the defense set up right away. And then also, I don't know about anybody else, but trying a 64-yard field goal in that game, they would have been better off, in my view, to just try a Hail Mary because there's a guy coming off being injured. He's not going to make a 64-yard field goal. Thanks for the call. And one last thing, I want to wish all my fellow veterans happy Veterans Day. Thanks for your service.
Absolutely.
Love your show, guys. Take care.
Yeah, awesome call, Chris. Absolutely. And again, for those of you that have joined our show after we've explained this the many times we have, we are extremely thankful for our veterans. Our whole point of our thank you for your service for menial tasks that are done by the three knuckleheads on this program is to point out what real service is, and it's sarcastic about what our service is. But thank you for your service on this Veterans Day, and thank you for the call. Chris, let's take this opportunity, Tausch, to talk about the kicking situation. So I think Chris's point was, and I agree with him, they have... Like I thought they were going to get called for a penalty.
They should have,
because
you can't do what they did.
They kicked the ball. The timeout had been. It was not as if they were in the action of snapping the ball. Snapped
matter
it anyway.
Of fact, the ref walked over to try to stop. He almost blocked the kick. The ref did.
So they wanted to
see that other one where the ref almost got punched in the face when the old boy was celebrating.
Yeah, that I did
what
not
happens?
See.
What happens, because he wasn't obviously trying to put – he was excited. Is it the ref got to get out of the way? Because it wasn't as if he made a big play and he did his whole celebration. And that ref, if he doesn't duck, he got punched in the face. And I would think they'd penalize him, but they shouldn't.
I think if it's inadvertent, they'd probably go to New York and have an expedited review. I want to get to this kicking thing. So he comes up about 5 yards short. It was online. But on the kick he shouldn't have been kicking, he comes up 5 yards short. And what do they decide? Let's try it again. As opposed to saying, okay, he doesn't have the leg for this. We got to go Hail Mary. Now, they do try with their 5 seconds to throw a quick out route.
Yeah, they ran a really good play in between those attempts.
And it totally didn't work. Yeah. So then you got to go. I thought, okay, they'll leave the offense out there. They'll give the Hail Mary a shot. No, here comes Brandon McManus. And his second attempt was closer to the pylon than it was to the uprights. I said this, and I wasn't joking. Like, I would have liked to have seen if Lucas Haversick makes that. Now, his 61-yarder was indoors in Arizona in tropical conditions. So do I think he makes the 64-yarder? Probably not. Probably
not. It's going to be worse than that.
But
it's not
exactly.
going to be worse than that.
So what do you make of what's going on here? Because, again, if he's not healthy, why are you letting him continue to kick?
I don't know. I'd love someone to get to the bottom of this, because this whole week leading up to it, it was a total cluster in the fact that
LaFleur called it a competitive situation, and then his special teams coordinator proclaimed that McManus was the kicker 24 hours later.
Yeah, this whole thing's been butchered, and I think it's been butchered because McManus rushed to get back because Haversick was kicking awesome. And kickers, they have to be insecure, because they should be, because these jobs, they move around, right? And McManus missed some time for off-the-field stuff, and I think he obviously feels at home in Green Bay and was very confident. Then Haversick breaks the record. He's making every kick. And so I don't know what the hell is going on. But what I do know is they should have put him on IR 3 weeks ago, let him get healthy so that he could kick in the stretch run. They have a guy they trust. He's done good. He's not a proven commodity yet. But I certainly would have felt better with Haversick last night trying. And the fact that they didn't even think about kicking a 57 and a 59-yarder.
Right.
And it was fourth down. And I know I said last night, this isn't the old days like when I was playing, and anything over 52 yards, you were like, it was a crapshoot.
Yep.
It's changed. The kicking balls are better. The kickers are better. And I know it was cold last night.
It was.
Certainly. But kickers are now expected to be able to make kicks 55 plus. Now, I know that was a little bit out, but they didn't even blink to think. Fourth and nine in a game you can't score a point?
Yep.
You don't even trust that you can kick, but then you're going to put him out there with 64. Someone needs to ask, because Aikman on the broadcast said he talked to McManus, and McManus told me he hadn't been healthy for a couple weeks. And Matt LaFleur says, well, I don't talk to kickers. Well, maybe somebody should.
Well,
because this whole scenario, if Haversick is kicking last night, I'm not saying he's going to make the 64-yard. I don't know, but
agreed.
I know this. He's not going to yank it and miss by 35 yards. That I know.
I agree.
The 64-yarder isn't the one that everyone's concerned about. It's those other two that they didn't even think
that
about.
That they didn't even think about. Right,
even
exactly.
To try.
I asked Bill Huber, who was there for warm-ups while I was doing Green Bay game day at the Tundra Trio. He said he watched McManus, and he kicked a 55-yarder in warm-ups in the direction those kicks would have gone, and he was short on that. So they just, you know what they do, Tausch. They decide the line, and they decided 57 and 59 were too far, so they were in no man's land. Now, again, is that the case
but then
with
they
Lucas?
Kicked it from 64. Yeah.
Well, that right, and I don't get that either. But if that's the is that the case if Haversick's the kicker? And here's my issue with your point. Here's my issue with your point about him talking to Aikman. Are you telling Matt LaFleur that you haven't been that you're not healthy? Like, that's great that you're talking to Troy Aikman, Brandon. But do you have the gumption and the confidence in yourself to say, look, you guys, you need to shut me down. It's not getting any better. But he doesn't want that. So I don't know what he was trying to tell Troy Aikman. I assume it was an explanation for why he isn't kicked as well, right? Because I don't see him volunteering to say, hey, I'm not healthy. Let the kid kick until I'm 100% in my quad, in my kicking leg. Is that not reasonable?
It's completely reasonable. I don't understand it. I haven't understood this scenario for 2 or 3 weeks. It didn't make any sense at the time. He struggled. Put him on IR. Let him rest. Let him regroup. You get a roster spot back. Maybe you could get a wide receiver so you don't have to play your defensive back at wide receiver. You could elevate somebody. So this none of it makes any sense. I don't know. None of it makes any sense.
No, definitely not. All right, we need to get some more of your calls. Jesse, how many do we have left in our final 23 minutes?
Four to go. We can do it.
All right, you want to do one more here or you want to break? I'm leaving it up to
you. Let's do one more here.
One more here.
Okay. All right, let's go to the beautiful city of Sun Prairie, home to two-thirds of this here program. Let's talk to Ben. Ben, good morning. Thanks for holding on. Packers lose 10-7 to the Eagles. Your thoughts?
I'm not a real big hot take guy, and so when people bring up firing Matt LaFleur, it's just silly to me. Another hot take that was last year, Malik Willis is a better quarterback than Jordan Love. And the more I started listening to the calls today, the more I'm thinking, is Malik Willis the type of quarterback that Matt LaFleur wants? Because if you remember after those games, Matt LaFleur was he lit up. Like it was like the person that just saw his offense run the right way or the way that he wanted to be for the first time. And is that just the style that he wants? Because I think we've seen Jordan Love be a great quarterback. And I don't know that he's a great fit for what Matt LaFleur wants to do with it. I know Tausch was saying Brett Favre, or he's more Brett Favre than Aaron Rodgers. Well, when Brett Favre would go out there and throw an interception, you think they were running the ball with him on green the next six plays? Because I think he's going to go out there and just gunsling it again. And I think that might be what we need to do. And another point with Matt LaFleur is when he gets into these tight situations and they have to be throwing the ball like that, is that just not what his offense is designed to do? Like, I think that's what Jordan Love is designed to do, but is it maybe Matt LaFleur is just not, like, that's just not what he wants to be doing with his game plan, and when he's forced into those situations, he gets uncomfortable. I'll let you guys talk about it. I'm going to get going, but bye. I love you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
I love you guys.
So I don't, I want to try and wrap my head around this. Basically, Malik Willis is vastly more limited as a thrower of the football, so they can streamline the game planning to be even more run heavy, and he will do the paint by numbers. Remember when I did that amazing graphic of Bob Ross painting the Jordan Love, and I asked him, and he didn't know who Bob Ross was because he's young and I'm not. I don't necessarily agree with his premise or agree with his opinion there, Tausch, but Ben, I do wonder if Matt LaFleur kind of views it as, I just do exactly what the play calls for you to do. I had Aaron Rodgers for a while, and he made me look really good by doing whatever he wanted to do instead of what I told him to do. I just want you to do what I want you to do. And then on occasion, when that's not available, then make something happen. What do you make of Ben's take?
Guys, stop it. No, let's stop it. This is a road that is does not. This is a road that's closed, and it's not going to say it's a dumb take because I understand where Ben's coming from, but let's stop.
Wait a minute. I'm no one here, and including Ben, is saying that they should play Malik Willis instead.
What he just said.
No. What I think it makes a good jumping off point for is Jordan Love playing the way that Matt LaFleur wants him to? Is Matt LaFleur not putting enough faith in him to allow him to play the way he plays best? It goes back to everything we talked about let it rip. And that was when things changed, when they stunk offensively in the first eight games. Is Matt LaFleur holding on too tightly to the reins with his quarterback? Because he'd rather have a guy like Malik Willis who just does what he damn well wants him to do. I think that's why I found it interesting.
Jesse, I want to make sure I heard this right. Ben threw a hot take out that he thinks Malik Willis fits better. Did I mishear what he said?
No, you did a little bit.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I misheard what he said. What I will say is the reason Matt LaFleur was so excited was because he did get to do it his way, and he got to show how great of a coach he was at that point because the dude was in your building 15 days and you just won two games with him running it. It wasn't because this is how I want to run my offense. This is how I was able to adjust and showcase free of the Aaron Rodgers storylines and the Jordan. I was able to show that I'm a blank and dang good coach because I was able to win games with Malik Willis. It wasn't, I want Malik Willis doing this because he's limited what he can do. And that's why I want to say stop, because narratives get spun and, well, we'd be better off with Malik Willis running the show for 17 weeks. No, we wouldn't.
Nobody agrees with that.
That's what I, and I apologize to Ben. That is how I heard, and then you kind of jumped on, and that's when I'm like, come on now.
Yeah, no, no one agrees with that. But I am very intrigued by the mentality and the approach between the quarterback and the coach, the play calling, what you trust them to do, what you don't. That is, and I don't know the answer to that. It's one of the things that I'm very curious about. And
I thought
don't
you
know
might say we should
answer.
Bring Tim Tebow in. I was very nervous you were going to go to Tim Tebow.
I think we should bring in David Gruber. He gets things done. Gruber offices, one call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website gruber-law.com. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We're hustling to the line. Let's go to Jay in Alabama. Maybe it's Jay
Zone
Barker.
Zone right.
Jay Barker, former Alabama quarterback. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Show's been cutting in and out a lot. I hope you guys can hear me. But I wasn't even going to call in today. I wasn't really, you know, surprised or real frustrated with what I saw last night. Unfortunately, a little bit of what I expected. But Ryan in Sheboygan called and used the RELAX. He made some really good points, you know, that LaFleur is not drawing up plays where receivers are covering up tight ends. He's not drawing up plays where wide receivers are running into each other over the middle. But those things happen, and they happen to poorly coached teams. There's not a coach in America at any level that draws those things up. It's the teams that have poor coaches that allow those things to happen, that don't fix those things before the games get there, that have those issues. And Taus did make a point, and it wasn't necessarily what he was saying. I think he was saying what he thinks Packer fans believe is, yeah, we've sort of hit our peak with LaFleur. It's where we've been the last couple of years, and it's basically where we're at right now. We're going to fight our butt off to be the 6 or 7 seed, be a one and done, and that's sort of where we're at. I don't think that's good enough. There's 32 NFL head coaching jobs in the world, so there's 32 men at a time that are worthy enough to be the alpha male, to be the leader of all leaders. And unfortunately, I just don't think that LaFleur has shown the ability to do that.
So this is a good call. We have a time crunch, Jay, so we appreciate it. The question I want to ask Tausch off of that is it possible that he is still a very good coach and it's just time for something different? Mike Holmgren coached 7 years in Green Bay. Is it just time? Like, is there a shelf life in your mind?
I always feel like, I don't remember who said 10 years. If you're constantly improving and you get to the pinnacle, I think there's well, we've done it, let's do it again. But
yep.
Mm-hmm. So Mike McCarthy went a long time. I do think you can end up with hearing the same things, and if you keep doing the same things over and over, there is a lack of belief. I don't think they're there. I still think that there's room here, but you don't want – you have it's a different team. There's a different core than when Matt started, and they're a building. But you can't regress. When you're doing this, you need to improve. They improved last year, although they didn't playoff-wise, they did. This year, I thought they'd improve more, win the division, and get positioned. And if you don't win the championship, you're at least building. If you feel like you're regressing, that's when you start taking a look to see, is this the guy we want moving forward?
Let's get to one more call before the break. Let's go to Janice in Las Vegas, not Jeff Janice. Janice, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
We're good.
I get
good.
To talk to my icons again, so I'm excited.
We appreciate that. I need you to be brief, though, Janice.
Okay, so very quick. Couple things. Flores was doing some bad time management in the three losses, and he just doesn't seem to be able to. I think he gets nervous. I think he overthinks things. He wants to out-scheme people instead of just play straight up outplay them.
I agree.
I think he's chasing the big play too often. He says it in his press conferences. You got to have explosives. Well, you don't need to chase explosives. They'll happen if you just like they did with the Eagles on a couple plays. You don't have to keep throwing it down 50 yards, 60 yards. And if he thinks they have to chase explosives, then Jordan's going to think the same way. And he's going to try to do that.
Awesome.
And I'll leave it brief. I got lots more, but I know you guys.
I know
go.
You do. That's not you. That's me. It's not you. It's me. My time management. Thanks for the call, Janice. All right, last chance. Let's go to Joe in Atlanta. Joe, I'm sorry I didn't leave you more time. Run a quick 27-second drill so you can set up a 64-yard field goal.
Yeah, I don't want to get started on the kicking situation because, Halsh, I agreed with you. Last night, I was getting really pissed off at Homer on the postgame show when you guys were going back and forth on the kicker thing. That was really annoying me. They just botched the whole kicker thing. But Micah said after the Detroit game, give us 20 and we'll get you the win. Maybe Micah should have said, hey, just give us 10 and we'll get you the win. Look, this defense has been awesome. This defense has been fantastic, okay? And my issue has been the lack of awareness and attention to detail on the offensive side of the ball. It has been absolutely pathetic. The screenplay is a perfect example of that. It was a perfect play call. I don't know what Josh Jacobs was doing. Does Matt LaFleur drop passes? No, he's not the one dropping passes, okay? But I'll give you something else, too. You got illegal formations happening. That falls on coaching, and it falls on the players, okay? But, Taos, I tagged you on Twitter on a play on the All-22 that I had seen. It wasn't my report, someone else's, but there was 27 seconds left in the game. And it was when Jordan Love threw the deep pass to Watson. Now, first off, the pass was terrible. He throws that a tiny bit outside. Mm-hmm. Watson catches it and probably scores, okay? But he had plenty of time on that play, okay? Plenty of time. That play was designed. Wicks ran in motion, and you could tell the play was specifically designed as Wicks as one of the primary reads. He runs about a 15-yard dig route. He is screaming wide open. Nobody around him. And you could see Love sees him. So that's part of the awareness issue that I have. Love throws it to Wicks in that spot, and because I saw it during the game too. He throws it to Wicks. Wicks is scoring. The game's over. Green Bay wins, okay? There is something broken right now with this offense, and it's the attention to detail and the awareness, like I said, and I'm sorry to repeat that, but it is so frustrating to watch because you got the defense playing on an elite level, a super caliber.
Joe?
How long have we wanted a super caliber defense?
Yeah, it's been a while. Joe?
That's here.
Call back tomorrow and finish your thought. 844-770-3776. We got to wrap things up. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
You get the final word, and I mean one word.
Free Haversick. Free Haversick.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.